My name is Lewin Zimande from KwaZulu-Natal, Pietermaritzburg, Umsunduzi, City of Joy.
Good morning. I'm Boni Selenis, a member of the committee from the Eastern Cape.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Dennis Bloom. I am a member of this committee. Thanks.
Good morning.
Tunga Matila, member of the committee from Gauteng.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Matala Masuku. I'm the MEC for Gauteng, Mpumalanga.
Chairperson and honorable members, I'm David Mahlobo, the HOD for Gauteng, Mpumalanga.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Tseko Thabe, as well as Deputy Administrator of the Temsilani Local Municipality.
Good morning, for our holiday, I work for the secretary for the chiefs.
Good morning, I'm Nama Utupani from Saga.
Jay Abrams, PMG.
Good morning, my name is Ngosana Mfoko. I'm the supporting staff for the Committee on COVID.
Good morning, my name is Mark Manere.
Good morning, I'm Tema Kubula, I'm from Parliamentary Communities.
Thank you very much. I think everyone has introduced himself and herself, and once more welcome to the briefing on termination of intervention in terms of Section 139 of the Constitution can be seen the Hani municipality. This is the municipality we visited last year. I would leave members appraised with the issues that were raised. And in particular, we'll focus on the terms of reference and from there be able to deliberate. Honorable MEC, you are welcome and congratulations. We were in your province sometimes. We understand the dynamics, but we have political will to swing through them. I think the HOD we interacted sometimes. Only the MEC that is for the first time, and then we are honored to have you as part of us. May I then hand over to whoever is making a presentation to take us through?
Thank you, Chair. The HOD is going to do the presentation.
Thank you. Chairperson, and thank you very much to yourself and the members, honorable members, for allowing us to present our work in Thembisile and the local municipality that we have just concluded. As part of the preparation, Chairperson, we have circulated a PowerPoint presentation that will take the members through. We have also, to the Secretary, sent a narrative because when we're closing the intervention, our MEC insisted that we must be clear what we could achieve, what are the things that we could not achieve so that the Council will be able to take those particular issues forward. But I will then take you, Chair, through the presentation that we've prepared. In terms of the brief, when we went into Thembisile and the local municipality, there were some issues that were on the table. We considered the situation as a province that it was volatile and unsafe. There were incidents that we all know that there was some service delivery protest there and the destruction of property in that municipality. But when it came to matters of governance, Chairperson, there were serious issues amongst the councillor able to discharge his responsibility because of a number of issues that were there. Issues of corruption that were being raised that necessitated the MEC to institute a Section 106 investigation in terms of the Systems Act. Ultimately, the province was left with no option when the municipality could not deal with the issues. Then the municipality was ultimately placed under administration. When the municipality was being placed under administration, the municipality was not actually able to discharge certain functions, Chair. The financial situation in the municipality in terms of good governance, when it has to do with financial management, there were serious lapses that our investigative report has shown. The matter in which the community participation and deepening of democracy between the council itself and the communities was a matter of concern. And we also noted that a number of service delivery projects were not being executed, they had collapsed. Therefore, when the leadership of the province through the Provincial Executive Council took decision to place the municipality under administration, already we had a report of an investigation that there were recommendations on the table that had to be implemented. It became one of the terms of reference to say these matters that have been raised by communities and various individuals, just deal with them as part of the investigative report. Secondly, the municipality was not doing well in terms of financial viability. And also in terms of some of the tenets of the Municipal Finance Management Act. And then, well, there were also some vacancies in critical areas. And there was a breach around supply chain management. and then the issues of trust between the community and the municipality had to be established. That was the terms of reference that the administration team was given by the Executive Council. The Executive Council came to a decision to place that municipality under administration from the 15th of April 2010 for a period of 6 months. We must indicate that after the period of 6 months, the leadership of the province did a review and could detect that the period of 6 months, one, is not legislated. Number two, when the situation is deteriorated in a municipality, you might not deal with all the issues within 6 months. And then the Executive Council did a review. We decided to extend the intervention until elections. Immediately after elections, we then terminated as a province this intervention. We also had to note that the Section 106 106 investigative report, it found that there were a number of officials at senior management level of the municipality that action had to be taken against. And the 9 of those officials, disciplinary proceeding took place. But some of the matters, in their own understanding of the team, were requiring some criminal proceedings. That's why cases were formally opened with the South African Police Agency, working with the multi-agency task team. The matter of the municipal manager, who was also one of the officials in the municipality, was concluded, found guilty and dismissed by the administrative team. But also other issues, as I've said, were to do an interaction with the multi-agency task team that involves SIU, the Hawks, including issues of SARS, and also matters of certain service providers who were part of the problem there. Then they were then properly referred to the police and arrest was made. When it came to matters of service delivery, we discovered that most of the infrastructure projects were not happening well because of the capacity in the project management unit and the way it is structured and the way it is performing. And at the time, the municipality was one of the lowest performing municipalities when it comes to infrastructure grants that were being provided. And then that's when the team started to deal with these issues. But because the municipality could not perform its work, the matter of planning, which is the IDP that would normally have to have been concluded by the end of March in terms of each year, they could not do it until the administration came on board and the province were to support them. The IDP and budget was only approved by council in June, which is 3 months down the line because of the abnormality in terms of that. Well, then the team then had to develop a financial turnaround strategy. Fortunately, we're being supported by DBSA, certain employees that were being put in place there. And then an action plan had to be dealt with. But the municipality was not actually financially viable because of the issues of the billing system, the consumer database and understanding. That particular work, they started that particular work in order to improve the cash flow projection. And then the work of looking of cleaning up the data started in earnest. Well, there was a process that to re-establish all ward committees. It was done well. And then at the time when in between that period and the time the province lifted the intervention, there was this process of municipal ward delimitation process. And we had to do that process after the election. And then also in terms of improving governance, in the province we have established, including in this municipality, the structures called the Municipal Public Accounts Committees to do certain issues of oversight, including the committees that are required by law, your Section 79 and 80 committees were all put in place. This is just the brief in terms, at a high level, of some of the things that have been done. In terms of basic services, issues of roads and stormwater, they are a little bit of a problem there. You see, if you go to Thembisile in terms of its geography and geology, Thembisile is actually placed in a wetland. when it rains, the issues of the drainage system there is one of the biggest issues, but also the infrastructure. You normally will see that because some of the residences are in areas that are actually damp. When it rains, it normally becomes a problem. Well, as we have said, there was little work that was happening with respect to infrastructure. Then immediately the team had to start a process to strengthen the project management unit, ensure that plans are being put in place to do procurement, to deal with issues like roads, stormwater drainages. That's what the team could do. And we also had to deal with issues of water. There is an issue of shortage of water there. Then they had to be putting temporal measures to provide water through cuts where possible and through pipes. But I must be able, the Honorable Chair, to indicate that when the water intervention was being put in place, the municipality experienced some few problems that even today you will find. The infrastructure in that area has aged. Therefore, there is an infrastructure failure. In other words, you have these pipes. In the narrative, you see, we have asbestos pipes, you know, in terms of their own nature, after they've reached their lifespan, they will burst, and you will not be able to rehabilitate them. And then in certain instances, you have the telemetry system, the valve check. One of the biggest problems during that time is that even water is supposed to run them. There are people who are doing illegal activities. They will actually, if you give water through water tankers as an example, they will create business. Immediately you want to give people water through the pipes, those people will go and interfere with the valves. It's one of the problems that even today we're still experiencing, where you install valves, certain people go in and disrupt them. That's why you'll have water disruptions. And then the last thing about water that I thought Emisa should share is a matter that there is a scheme there. The scheme that provides water is shared. It's shared with a municipality called Gungwini from Gauteng. The water comes there. That they provide that particular area called Tembisile, and it via through Dr. J.S. Morok. And then when water is not available from Gungwini side, when Gungwini does some shutdown or some rationing for their own people, it affects the people of Tembisile, how that particular scheme is being utilized. Currently, the MEC is interacting with the leadership in that area so that we are able to ensure that they don't get disrupted, including the last matter that if the water is not available from Gungwini, it comes from rainwater. And the tariff is a matter there, because the tariffs are not the same, which then impacts on availability. Well, I've indicated, Chairperson, the infrastructure is old. There are failures of the infrastructure. Therefore, you will have water loss in the system. Therefore, the matters of water conservation and demand management, they are very important. And then the other thing is that the municipality could not pay for water purchase, no? Because of the issues of the availability of funds. If the municipality is not doing well, it's unable to honor its obligation towards its creditors that the team had to deal with. I've made reference to the issue of the project management unit that has to deal with infrastructure rollout, that it had inadequate capacity. In the meantime, when the MEC send the staff as an administrator, we send even engineers to be part of the team to manage that particular area. At the very same time, they had to develop an organizational structure that is able to respond. At this stage, the council is looking at concluding that organizational structure. The matter of planning is a serious matter that the municipality was unable to plan well. The example is that when public participation collapsed, instead of concluding an IDP around March, you concluded the IDP in June. That's one of the things that they need to improve. And the issues of improving in terms of planning, in terms of infrastructure planning and execution. Because if you are going to receive, you know that you receive the municipal infrastructure grant over MTF period. But when if you are going to only plan to implement when the money is here, it's a poor planning. That had to be done properly in order to do rescheduling. Well, the other thing that we noticed is that there was a lot of infrastructure there, like your vehicles and plant that were not being utilized. The issues of maintenance, operation and maintenance, they have been attended to. The question of financial management is that and viability is a big issue there. One of the things that we just have to note is that the municipality called Thembisile, the province through the leadership of the MEC, in the province we have categorized municipalities, not that we are using the categorization given by cooperative governance, but for our own way of doing business. In the province we have categorized municipalities that have a big potential because they are of big towns. If you do all the things well, put systems in place, put proper leadership, those municipalities can do well. Here, example, Akona is Stiftwede, where we have Mickleyburg, Emalahleni, where we have formerly Witbank, in Mbombela, where you will have formerly Nelspruit, and then Ikavinimbeg, where you will have formerly Secunda. Those municipalities are the municipalities that are big towns, and the province has said, let them do well. They should not at any stage depend on the state. But then there are these municipalities, Honorable Chair, where these municipalities, they are poor but high concentration of people, formerly homeless. These municipalities include Thembisile. Thembisile has an area, Kwamhlanga and others, huge population there. People very poor, unable to pay. The same thing like Bushbuck Ridge, Komazi. You look at Chief Albert Tutu. Those are the municipalities that are big in terms of population. But if you look at institutional capacity and the revenue base, those will not do anything until the state comes in and intervenes. This is one municipality. That's why if you look at financial viability, 82% of the bills were being returned as undeliverable. But secondly, that area is so big, but there are only two areas where you can collect well. Is an area called Tweefontein and Kwamhlanga. The rest of the areas where the Hoshis are involved, those people, majority are not working, but they are consuming services. That's the impact. You have areas of collection, and you have areas of non-collection in this municipality. Therefore, the municipality had to develop a strategy to say, how do we deal with these issues? Then the team had to put the strategy to deal with data cleansing. Because if you don't know who are the people who are consuming your service, you have a problem. You will send a bill to a wrong person. Even if it's a wrong person, the person can't pay. I can't pay. If you don't write David Maslow, you write Mr. Masuk. I can't pay the debt for Mr. Masuk there to deal with that matter. Then there were issues of valuation role, the issues of town planning and zoning, the issues of upgrading the indigent register, because if the indigent register is available, you then have an opportunity to access the conditional grants that are available in terms of free basic services from the sector department. But more importantly is the use of technology, ICT infrastructure, to be able to sort out your billing system. We have dealt with the issues of the evaluation role that the team had to look at and the methods of the organogram. The revenue strategy is being implemented now, but Chairperson, I must indicate, is being implemented in the two areas. We still have to go to the areas where we're not collecting, engaging amakhosi, and find a mechanism to say who can afford in those areas that are traditional under the jurisdiction of amakhosi. And then also to sort out the matters of financial management, because there were matters that were not doing well. I must admit that all these problems, Chairperson, why do you see them now here? Firstly, the municipality had collapsed. When we implemented the Section 106 recommendations report, the team fired all the managers. All the Section 56 managers were fired, including the MM. Therefore, we had that particular vacuum at the top. Expenditure and creditors. The municipality had the municipal debt that they were owing the following institution, Rand Water, Nkungwini, Jess, Moroka, because the arrangement around water supply, they are depending from that integrated system that includes Kumwini J.S. Moroga, and sometimes getting water from rainwater through those particular agreements. But the municipality started to honor its obligation there. But it never meant that it was financially sound. Well, the other thing was the matter of document management. The municipality, in terms of records keeping, chair, at the time, because where there is element of maladministration and some elements of corruption, documents get lost, chair. You had this problem that you don't have them properly recorded. For example, are my checks. You see, if you're using a check system that was already in place there, they will get missing. And then we had to improve the filing system of which the team has done that particular work. And other than using more of document management system, they had to use an ICC system, which is an electronic payment system. Because payment of checks, one of the things that put other managers in trouble that were fired, they were keeping checks in their pockets. More often, and it doesn't get to be reconciled. And then the system was purchased, and they had to start to do the design, what are the fields the system will have, using the municipal finance system that is available, that is called Munisoft, that is there. The municipality still have to conclude the full implementation of the system. But that's the system able to try to address the matters of risk management. The issues of record management has always been a problem there, from finances to payroll, to HR files, but the team had put those particular systems in place. And then having too many bank accounts, which then makes the municipality to be vulnerable, then the team had to do a consolidation of various accounts so that you can be in a position to control those particular issues. And then at the very same time, the municipality, because of record management and the way of following issues, they were being owed by SARS in terms of that. The team looked at that particular matter, and that money came in very handy. They were not owing SARS, it was SARS owing themselves, but then they had to put a team to follow those issues. That's why most of the obligations in terms of finances, they were honored when this money was made available. Well, one of the matters that made them to be having trouble with their audit outcomes is the matters of asset management and GRAB compliance, issues of knowing where your assets are and proper records are in place. Therefore, the issues of sorting out the asset register and asset management process, the team, when they left the municipality, had started that particular process, including inventory. Well, by before the time the leadership managed to lift the intervention in the financial year 2011-2012, the municipality was starting to stabilize. All the municipalities in the province before the elections, they had all their IDPs approved when the MEC was actually hands-on in the process to say all of them get your IDPs approved for the next 5 years. Tembisile is one of those municipalities. It did struggle a bit, but they were able to meet the embassy's deadlines towards the end to say, let's have the IDP. They do have an IDP. Well, their IDP in terms of rating, because of issues of poor planning and other areas that are there, is still rated as low, but in terms of compliance, the IDP is in place. The budget is also in place. Well, I must apologize. This thing looks a little bit smaller there. I can just indicate that this is a slide the MEC has used when it was doing an assessment of all the municipalities in the province in terms of vulnerability assessment. These municipalities still remain in a red if we're going to, say, do an assessment. When it comes to financial viability, they are not doing well. Their expenditure is still higher than the income. The income is low in this municipality because, as I've indicated, there are a number of areas in this municipality where we are not connecting. We are not connecting. People are having access to services. We are not connecting. And a decision has been taken by the leadership of the province with the municipality that will go and actually ensure that we connect all the other areas. In other words, there must be meters in all government buildings so that government can pay. Government employees, politicians, and all of us, we do pay for services. We are not doing well here. Secondly, the last audit opinion, over the last 2 years, past two financial years, we did get a disclaimer in this municipality because of the systems problems that we are trying to improve. And we're optimistic that this time around, when this audit gets concluded, we will not have a disclaimer in this municipality. Well, this is for information, honorable members. Mr. Mahlangu was the MM there, found guilty, dismissed. Mr. Mahlangu, the other one, he was a director of corporate services there, found guilty, took the municipality to court. The case got postponed for some time, but the person is not in the employ of the organization. In finance, these people, when they were found guilty, some of them before the process could be concluded, they ran away. In terms of Section 56 managers there and the MM, no one is in place. This is all the list of the people that ran away, Honorable Chair. One of the things that Honorable Chair, that this municipality and the administrative team did, even if you run away, there are matters that you must answer to. These matters have been referred by ourselves. They are with the police. The Hawks are dealing with these matters with a view of bringing them to court, but also with a view to do cost recovery, Chair. Because the municipality was pretty juiced by certain actions with respect to these particular issues. Some of them were happy to report that these companies that were also doing business there, for these particular amounts mentioned, they were arrested. We do have the case numbers that are there, and we're continuously following it up. But we're not happy, we must admit, Chair, we're not happy with the speed at which the multi-agency task team is dealing with the issues in the province. Because Lama cases is our reporter now. And some of them, they take too long. Because we don't only report that they must start the investigation from scratch. Already you do have a forensic report where the auditors, they do this work. Probably some few refinement in terms of the standards of the law enforcement agencies to do. But we think they could move much faster so that at least it can give confidence on the public service, more in particular in the municipalities there. That's the summary, Chairperson, in terms of our presentation. On the narrative, we are very clear to say what was planned, what was achieved there, what has been handed over to the municipality to be able to take those particular issues forward. That detail is there, but this is the high level of the issues that our intervention has been able to do. The municipality has stabilized, but it still requires high care. We are not out of the woods. That's why the MEC has decided to continue to provide an aftercare support. There is a team that is helping the municipality. We know the team is not sufficient, so that we don't have this municipality relapsing again into another Section 139. But we can confirm the intervention has been lifted. Executive Mayor Ukansel Babmasham is here. They are fulfilling all the functions that the executive must be able to fulfill in terms of law, the Structures Act, in that municipality. And the MEC is assisting the municipality to conclude the matter of filling of all the critical positions at the management level of the MM, of the CFO and the other managers. We tried the MM, but we could not get the right candidate because the leadership has been very clear. Don't appoint people who are not suitably qualified. We did find candidates. They were short of certain requirements we needed. the executive mayor is running with that process to be able to conclude, so that at least by the end of the year, we have the right bodies in that municipality to take the work forward. That's how I can present technically. Then the MEC probably might wind up, but that's how we've performed this work in that particular municipality. It's safe to say that we have learned lessons, Chairperson. We have learned lessons. One of the lessons is that the 6 months period is not sufficient to deal with these issues. Number two, we have also noted that in certain municipalities during the intervention, because the institution had already collapsed, sometimes there is a need of a financial support to that municipality to turn things around. Sending only bodies or human beings without the financial resources to be able to assist the municipality, it defeats the purpose in certain municipalities, especially a municipality like this one that has a high concentration of people that are also indigent, that are unable to pay for their services. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable MEC.
Thanks, Chair. I just want to introduce the executive mayor of Thembisile, who has taken over from the administration, Honorable N.K. Mashangu. And he's going with his MMC, speaker Mujela. And we also have Mr. Strauss, who is working with the municipalities together with his team from time to time. I just want to add that these lessons that we have learned from this municipality and the other five municipalities that were in the same situation is that we took them as signs of weaknesses that we might have to check on all the municipalities. So what we did, we used all the weaknesses that we saw here and in the other areas to assess all our municipalities, and that's where we came in with a grouping of our municipalities in terms of how we should service them, how much attention you should pay to them. So that grouping that the HOD was talking about those four municipalities that we think that we can be able to allow them a space to work on their own and provide minimum support, and also the grouping of five that need so much attention. And another one, the third one, being all small municipalities, but varying between those that can be assisted to perform at a higher level and those that still need support, assisted us in relation to this. We also use that, also those experiences, to be able to introduce our new councillors, all of them across the parties, into these challenges that are there in their municipalities after we've done the evaluation of all of them, so that they can pay attention to the critical issues that are emanating from these processes. The induction process for them was also structured around these areas of weaknesses that they must take along. It didn't only have to do with the municipalities, it also had to do with ourselves as a department. In terms of our evaluation, we find out that in terms of the challenges that are actually pointed out here and on the various municipalities, also realize that we as a department also, we think we have some weaknesses that we've got to deal with in relation to the capacity to support the human resource capacity of the department and the resources that are supposed to be provided there. And at least the executive council has agreed that we should go through a process to improve on that. They've given us a new framework to actually fill a number of posts that have got a technical capacity. And in the meantime, they allow us to get capacity and put it together to assist the municipalities in the meantime. So we hope that most of these challenges are going to be able to deal with them. I'm saying globally because I'm trying to say that the issues that the HOT is raising in relation to these municipalities, they sometimes cut across, especially when you talk the building system. it does cut across all our municipalities, and others have now improved. They are okay, and others, especially the four of the major towns, have already improved, and another three from the various, the smaller municipalities. There is one that we think that it has improved to a level where we didn't expect it to be. It was also in the same situation as Tembisire, Likwa, which has put in a base for us to work on. It has moved, that administration has moved the municipality from being from a disclaimer to an unqualified, and we think that some of the things that will be assisting us to assist the municipality in that way. We are confident that they will be able to do that. They will be able to turn around the situation. They are under pressure. They've got only 2 months now to have their human resource in place, the appropriate human resource, and a month after they will have to demonstrate that their planning capacity has improved to a level where we want it to be. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Honorable MEC for those broad additions. I would now request members to engage with the report, but bearing in mind that we need to be guided by the terms of reference that took us there, while we are not suppressing broad view comments or whatever, but at least if we could move with that terms of reference so that we are able to adjudicate this challenge. I see the hand of Honorable Martina, Honorable Bloom, Honorable Nancy. Yeah, in that order.
No, Chair, thanks for the report, but also commend the administrator, because when we went there.
And my apology. Let me, in terms of protocol, welcome the executive mayor who came when we are about to conclude, but we are aware that we are on our way. And congratulations once more.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
As I was saying that we need to, you know, this is one of the administrators that seem to have been the best in the entire country in terms of all the interventions that we have seen. We want to commend for the administrator for the good work that he has done, you know, while he was hands-on. The second area that I just wanted to add, I'm not sure as to whether this is the municipality that was some weeks ago or a month ago, there was an indication that the buildings caught fire or, you know, was set on fire or whatever, if that is the municipality, you know. Let us check as to what impact did that have on the processes, that the implementation of the intervention itself. And, you know, because, you see, it is clear that there was a lot of fraud, a lot of corruption. It was that, you know, was that not part of making sure that documentation disappears and, you know, you can't move forward? I mean, I think that's the critical. But in terms of my own view, Chair, I would agree with the lifting of the intervention. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Now let me also add my voice to the new leadership there. Chairperson, you know, what I will propose is that this is a very good report, but I think that we as a committee must do an oversight, go there and look for ourselves what is going on there. There is very little that we can do. I support the issue that we must lift that thing. But there's few questions, Chair, if you allow me. To ask some clarification questions on the report. On page 8, maintenance contractors have been appointed to deal with the road maintenance. Chairperson, you know, on Sunday, I drove through that place to Limpopo. I don't know, is it the Muloto Road or whatever? The road is very bad there. Now, my question is, when was this maintenance
companies, contractors, appointed to do the work. And on the issue of municipal managers and the fraud and whatever, I will also propose that we call the units that investigate this thing, because the municipal manager or the presenter said they are not satisfied with the slow pace that these people are taking. So maybe we as a committee must call the for progress report, not interfering in their work, but just to find out how far are they and what, because it is long. Thank you very much.
Honorable Miss.
Thank you, Chair. So, fair. It's also bad. Chair, it's hot in here. Chair, I was going to say, I'm also with other members, the two members who have spoken, that I think the administrator has done a lot of work there, and I think it has been done good. But then what I wanted to add on what they are saying is that if we can keep the MEC, in fact, the province, if they can keep a very close eye, so that you don't lose what you've got, consistently give support, so that monitor them, so that whenever there are witnesses, you are able to intervene from time to time, so that you don't get these municipalities getting back to where they were. I think what we need mostly to do is to keep on monitoring, give support consistently, so that we make sure that we improve from time to time. Where you are now, improve. Honestly, I think the person says, Honorable is saying, I think it would be better, Jefferson, if we can go there, see for ourselves, as not that we are questioning, but as we are saying, we appreciate the work that has been done, see for ourselves so that we can give further advice and make sure that even the companies that have been appointed to maintain the roads, that they do the work. I think one thing that is very, very critical for the province, I mean the leadership, is that if the MEC consistently follow the municipalities together with the HOG to ensure that even the contractors, that they do the work. You don't leave it to MM or to the mayor and the MM or the speaker there only. They continue to monitor, give support to them, the municipal manager, the mayor, to make sure that these contractors, because at times these contractors, they get the contract and they don't do the work properly. And you realize maybe after 3-6 months that these people have done not good service to our people or to the money that they are given. And then lastly, I'm interested to know, it seems to be too many Masangus there. I don't know. Now I'm worried.
Now the mayor is
Masangu. With due respect, Honorable Mayor, Dr. Masangu,
for
interest's sake, what's going on?
Thank you very much. I will then allow the delegation to clarify some of those things which the honorable members have raised.
Chairperson, thank you very much. The MEC will deal with those policy aspects. Thanks the input by honorable members of the committee. Our understanding is that the municipality MEC where there was fire is not this municipality. The name of the municipality is Dr. J.S. Moroka. But the leadership is looking at that situation to say what has happened to them. On the page 8, on the matter that Honorable Bloom has raised, the work of the administrative team was to deal with the internal access roads. The road, unfortunately, we happen to travel on is part of our provincial road, that one, that big road. But the access roads the access roads are fine. And Umloto Road, most of around Tembisile is very good. You can travel well there. I know that when you are traveling closer to Limpopo now, there are challenges between the two provinces that our colleagues are dealing with. We will welcome MEC that any assistance we get that this.
You know, I'm laughing. When you talk of Pumayara and Popo, honorable members are looking at me.
On the question of support, the MEC and the Prima, they are very supportive. They've given me a team. There's a multi-task team that they've given. We know that is not sufficient. Support to municipality, which is a constitutional requirement, requires a lot of money because these municipalities, they are in a different strength. That's why our own MEC and the Executive Council, they did their own classification, supported by the committee here, and including committees in provinces. There are those municipalities that now we know, after 17 to 18 years, now we know that without any intervention through the fiscal, we will never make a difference. They will never, because the inadequacy of the fiscal, it poses a lot of problems. Our own classification, it says those municipalities with high concentration of communities, with a low revenue base, with no infrastructure, because we know that the infrastructure in those areas, because of where we come from, they were not given the right infrastructure, and the population is growing. A form of an injection that they are able to find their food at a particular point will be one of those particular requirements. But we do take that. We are keeping an eye on the municipality. We interact with the leadership at a local level and up at an administrative level. We do a lot of interaction, but the sooner we fill all those vacant positions there, not only trying to fill them, an honorable chair, to get the right candidate. But when a person is in the system, is not an easy thing to do. You are sitting with a liability for long. That's why the mayor and the MEC, they are assisting us there, that when we came back, we said this quality is not the right quality. The leadership accepted that. We hope we'll find the right team, especially the CFO and the MM, in the next few weeks. At least they can start working by December. Then we'll be able then to say, let them find their feet. But the department, Chairperson, will not move away from that space until it's in a degree of comfort that they are fine. We don't want any municipality to go back where they come from. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chair. I won't spend much time. Just to say that yes, indeed, we are going to keep an eye there. We are not going to leave the municipality. But just to point out that we want to also appreciate the mayor that has been appointed there. He has got a good history. He was a former premier that was appointed to turn around the province at one point when we were about to collapse, and I think he has got a good experience in dealing with that. And I know him, I worked with him in his office at one point. I know how he works, and I also worked with him sometimes the past 2 years when we're given a responsibility to look at how best we can assist those who are involved in the municipality. He knows the challenges. I know his SMSs that come at 1 o'clock all the time, reprimanding people. Yesterday I received two when we were saying to someone, I instructed you to give to sort out the water, the valve, the issue of a valve there. you must explain yourself whether you are involved in this or not. Otherwise, in the morning, we will have to hand in your resignation. And I said, it's him. So with his presence, I think that we'll be able to work together to resolve a lot of other problems. We appreciate it so much when committees visit our area, because sometimes when you stay in an environment, it's like staying in a house that has got bugs. Because you got used to them, you can't even know that they are here because you are part of them. And somebody else will tell you there's something wrong here. So we appreciate it so much. The committee can go back and don't pull back your punches. Tell us straight and say, here there's a problem, that you can be able to resolve them. Well, with the surnames, you're going to have a challenge. One corner of a province will have a lot of Mashikos from 1 up to 7, and another one will get the Laminis, and there's one municipality that has got both the speaker and the mayor being Gwenyas, so I used to call them Gwenyas back. So this is another area where we've got a concentration of Mashang. Thanks.
Thank you very much, the province of Matango, on a more lighter note. I think honorable members, do you still have some follow-up or should we
have another follow-up, Chair? These two people, this thing is not having a page, but I think the last page, these two people that were arrested without bail, are they still in prison, or what is the case? Are they still sitting there without bail? The one was arrested 2009, the one was 2010. And can they maybe explain this fraud with sexes trading enterprise? Is it the bulls or what? Cows or what? Can they?
Not sure, it's not a point of clarification, but I think I wanted just to emphasize that maybe it would be important, since that the speaker is here, so that you see the speaker can assist, so that the council can play a stronger oversight role over the executive in that specific area, because that will then assist us to monitor the situation there. So that you see, you don't find council being absorbed by the executive, so that they then see themselves, because at some point he might see himself as the deputy mayor, whilst there are two different functions. The executive does something else, they must do oversight, and that's the point I just wanted to raise, Chair.
Honourable members, I'm tempted not to come back. Is there anyone who wants to before they conclude? Fine, I think there are those two follow-ups that need to be commented on.
Honorable Chairperson, will allow Mr. Tabe, who was part of the administrative team, just to respond on the last slide that our Honorable Member Bloom has just had some issues with clarity.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Just a quick one in relation to the question posed by Honorable Bloom. You know, part of the problem, Honorable Chair, why some of the cases had not been concluded pretty expeditiously was because we had come across some information informally as we were engaging with members of the community. The initial lead investigator, all right, from Middleburg, who had been assigned to these cases, we discovered that one of the officials, the assistant director that was suspended and against whom specific charges had been formulated and was subsequently fired from the municipality, had offered bribes to the lead investigator, all right, a certain officer there based in Middleburg. We stumbled across this information. I then personally was instructed by the administrator to link up with the Hawks number 2, General Mayre, in Silverton, which I did. It was I drove the Section 106 investigation processes, in terms of which a high-level meeting was then convened by General Mary, you know, with his top brass. The said officer was confronted and subsequently removed from these cases because proof was indeed provided to the Hawks that indeed monies had exchanged hands between, you know, specific officials that were suspended and against whom specific charges had been proffered. A new brigadier was then assigned to these cases as to whether these people that had been arrested are still languishing in the police cells. Without, I would not say with certainty what the situation is, because as you would know, with the court had escalated the intervention, and some of us left that space around mid-June as to precisely where this process is in respect of these two accused. I would not be in a position to say with certainty that this is the case, but what I know for a fact is that these other cases that have been reported to the Hawks are indeed being followed up, because General Mayren, the second in charge of the Hawks, has personally taken, you know, active interest, you know, in these cases.
We can just conclude, say that when the leadership or honorable members come and do the site visits, then we would have updated ourselves to say how far these matters have gone. At an administrative level, I will interact with the leadership of the Hawks and ask the MEC to intervene where it needs to intervene, because there are just a number of cases that we want to conclude them as speedily as possible. But we must commend that our team, when they got the information that there is an interference to try to stifle this work, at least our interaction with a high level of leadership there in Tshwane, that leadership was able to remove some of the rotten potatoes in these particular cases. But at this stage, we will not be able to say with certainty, Honorable Bloom, which was actually the civil or not. But we will try to appraise ourselves, and then my MEC will then be in a position to follow through with the investigations, Mayor. And the council will do that oversight, because we must be able to conclude this work so that the municipality can concentrate on its business, while at the same time rooting out corruption, creating confidence in the municipality. We can be seen which were decisive.
Thank you. Both MEC, want to comment?
Yeah, just to say that with regard to, without preempting the speaker, just to say that with regard to the issues of oversight, it's one of the things when we're doing the induction, because it was just the first encounter with all the councillors when they were confirmed. Before there were there was anything, we then discussed what does it mean to be a council. We did reach an agreement in terms of how we're going to handle our matters. And I think parties across Mpumalanga, they are assisting in relation to doing their work in intensive. I must confirm that parties, they do go even to an extent of calling me from time to time when they've got issues in the municipalities, including this one, the one of water, the challenges that the executive mayor was dealing with. I got it firstly from an opposition who was saying, no, we've got a challenge, but we think that the mayor is actually doing well. We'll give him some next 3 days or so and see what is it that he's going to do. And in Emalahleni also we had a similar situation. So the parties are doing well there. They are actually doing what they're supposed to do, and I'm confident that they will assist us to move forward.
Thank you very much. I'll just honorably request his worship. I'm sure it's the protocol of local government. just to say something, because you came to Cape Town.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I didn't know that when you come to Cape Town, you might just say something. But anyway, I accept the invitation. Well, in a lighter note, I'll say I was happy to come to Cape Town again after having spent some time here in Parliament. I think what the Honourable MEC and the HOD of the department said is exactly what is happening. Of course, the place has a lot of challenges, particularly the question of water, that we don't have a river in Kempisi, that we get water from outside places such as Gauteng, and the other one is from the sister municipality in Dr. Mroka. So the breakage, the aging pipes are also a problem, but I think the matters are being resolved. We've involved the district in also assisting financially, and even the COCTA, who are busy renovating or repairing the older pipes. And of course, the community, we've met them several times. Although living in such harsh conditions where you don't have water for some time, for some weeks, they are very cooperative in the plan we have given them that we are dealing with the matter. And of course, we are happy to say in the next coming year or two, we are working together, we'll make sure that Tembisile changes colors and will be a new Tembisile in a short space of time. Of course, finance is a problem. As you all know, the support base and the tax base, as indicated by the MEC and the HOT, is a problem. You have a lot of people who are there, not easy to build them. We don't even know where they stay. You see them when they come and vote, and then you see them when they might be toying when service is not sufficient, but we don't know where they live. Because this is a rural area where Makosi and niggas in the Oyokshala. If you just come, if in the Oyokshala it charges 150, we give the 150, and then you are not even recorded anyway. Then the next person comes. And when you are to build these people, you don't know whom to build and where. Of course, COCTA has been very helpful to us. They were dispatched, the CGWs who are busy collecting the data in the whole area, and of course, very soon we'll be able to bill everybody, including government offices and so on. Well, challenge is finance to install the meters and so on in the whole area, but I think we'll come through with the support of COCTA in that. Once we get finance and have our meters everywhere, in every household, every business, every government offices, I think our collection of revenue will improve greatly. Thank you. I hope it suffices that you want to hear my voice.
Yes, thank you very much. Honorable Speaker, do you want to speak?
No, I think you had a mouthful.
Thank you very much.
Of course, Chairperson, coming to oversight, I think the Honorable Speaker is very strong on that one.
I can see that you are from Parliament. Parliamentarian is just...
Yeah! No, I was trained here. I was trained by you. So, if you are a candidate, if you are a product coming up. I think on oversight, the speaker is very strong, but we need some support. Perhaps you as the committee should go through the municipalities. What I've noted compared to national and provincial parliament, there is a lack of knowledge in most of the municipalities, not one municipality, about what to do when you're doing oversight. They seem to be working, as you rightly say, as part of the executive, sort of. The Section 79, which are at the same level as your select committee or your portfolio committee, they seem also to be part of the executive. They want the executive to sit before the executive and then send their report to the executive instead of oversighting and send to the local to the council. So I think you are in the right position to take charge of the municipalities in all provinces and make sure they actually do the oversight. Most of the problems you say they are there in municipality, my view is that they'll be eliminated once the people in oversight are doing actually their work. But the speaker is up to date with that. But then the speaker alone cannot do oversight. It must be with others. Thank you very much.
Now, we thank you as long as the speaker will be careful not to be co-opted by executive members. I think towards conclusion, Honorable MEC, there is this page 2, item 1.4, which we might not resolve now. Because I saw in most cases it happens, but in different forms and patterns. The issue of taking over even before directives have been given, it's common. Mm-hmm. Is that our municipalities that we are intervening on does not have capacity to challenge? Mm-hmm. If they had capacity to challenge, mm-hmm. we would lose in court, yes. Like what happened in Eastern Cape. I think this issue, we are trying to deal with it as OP. Yes. We called on the workshop mm-hmm. on Section 139. Yes. We are calling on to the cabinet to speed up the legislation that will regulate common application of this type of thing. I think the MEC, at the level of minimum, if you could assist also just to express a view towards going towards a common legislation on how do we apply Section 139 to avoid many challenges. Many municipalities in this country which are under Section 139 are illegal. Mm-hmm. Is that we have to comply and approve here? But if we could, if we were caught, we were not going to approve. The only thing that we are parliament, we are politicians, we understand that we are building this sphere. If it was not that context of building the local sphere, many things would have been otherwise. But we are saying that this is an element that we need to carefully look into. I think let me join honorable members and congratulate the department. In fact, when we were there last year, it was the only municipality. to fix the roads. Yeah, we say if the municipality that were impressed by the approach of the department. I think the municipality administrator and the deputy administrator, there were two. And the manner in which they approached the matter, you could see passion, they were hands-on. And we're also learning out of that approach, so that if that practice could be general practice in the country, I think the issues will be resolved very quickly. We would want to really congratulate, we were with the gentleman for some time there, yeah. And the other one, yeah. No, we're highly impressed as we move out of that one. Mm-hmm. We need to commend you for that. The issue that one need to emphasize maybe is that of support. I think generally we are intervening, or we must intervene, mm-hmm. but the issue is the resources. Sometimes one that at another level, the human capital is a problem to drive the objective of the intervention. On the other side, you find that municipality does not have money, the province does not have money. Mm-hmm. I think this is another thing that we need to take with, I don't know at which level of the debate, so that in future, the intervention must have a dedicated funding, particularly on those municipalities that you call categorized as poor, with high population. You are intervening, but you don't know how to lift them up. I think that's one other element that one need to note, as the MEC has said, so that we, moving forward, are able to do that. I think we would agree that we need, usually, it's a common practice that we must have follow-up visits, even before we terminate. The problem is time, and so many programs in the country that while you are unable to make a follow-up in the municipality that you approved as an intervention. I think there will be a time in which we will have to go there. The other issue is to assist, especially the issues of cases. We need to see how we can call upon those security units or whatever, so that we are able to see where lies the problem in terms of concluding certain cases. Because once some of these cases can be concluded, or even maybe unravel the challenges within these agents, would be able to assist the country going forward. Because one example will make others to be able to conduct themselves in a manner that is consistent with law. I think that one we also have to do with that one. The issue of Dr. Esmeralda maybe will also be revisited, because burning a building, how a country was operating and all sorts of things. But it's not a Section 139. It might be general oversight. It's not part of the process, just to check what is it that is happening. I think with the question of oversight is well clear, and then the induction that went to Pumalang and other provinces does assist, but we need ongoing, because we know that sometimes the mind needs time. You must keep on pumping knowledge until somebody understands, because we have different degree of mental capacity to absorb certain things, and then we need to keep on inducting, maybe quite heavy, twice a year, whatever. Even if it's not political induction, government itself can maybe once or twice a year call this type of induction and go on. Because one other thing, when councillor does not understand legislation, there's always a source of conflict. You know? If the speaker does not understand that the governor is the mayor, the speaker may want to be a mayor, something being like a mayor. But once the speaker understands that, I am the speaker, I'm the chairperson of council, in charge of code of conduct, blah, blah, blah. I think that will be understandable. That question of separation of power, even if there are no separation at council level. But that understanding is very much important, which need to be noted. I just want to, with those few remarks, really, thank the delegation, because they will be engaging, will be coming to make follow-up. But in the views and the feeling of the honorable members, your termination is welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, those in their food. Yeah. Let's avoid
fruitless expenditure. Let's see.
I'm
not sure whether it's you. I've read in the papers that there is a man in Pumalang who does not change the allowance.
No, it's not me.
It's not you.
Yeah.